As we continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew today, we want to think with you about the appearances of Jesus to the women in relation to his resurrection. We have been discussing various things and characters related to the marvelous event in history, that Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. But we want to notice now the various appearances of the Savior as Matthew speaks of them. Matthew chapter 28 actually records only two of those experiences. The other gospel writers talk about the rest of them, so that we know that there were 10 appearances of Christ, at least, after his resurrection. Some vary, as that is, some tabulations vary, because some are separated, some are put together. But I repeat, Matthew records only two of them, one of them to the women, and one of them to his disciples. And I do not think it would be too much to say that the Lord Jesus Christ met these women on the pathway of duty. Look at the seventh verse, of the 28th chapter. The angel, as we have learned, said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, for lo, I have told you." And notice carefully now, "They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." What was it that they were doing? Where was it that the Lord Jesus Christ met them? Why, on the pathway of duty. And why do I emphasize that? I think it needs to be. We are living in an age when a great deal of emphasis is placed upon visions and upon emotions, upon feelings, upon spatial, unusual contacts with the Lord. People attend meetings and spend long hours in prayer looking for some kind of spatial experience. I challenge you to examine the Word of God, and you will discover that in every instance where an individual had a contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was in the midst of the discharge of obligation. It was on the pathway of duty. And I want to suggest to you today that if you are looking for some special contact with him, you don't need to go to some prayer meeting in some home and spend half the night praying about it. Get into the Word of God. And as you get into the Word, you will discover that all of the revelations that you can possibly handle concerning the Lord Jesus Christ are available to you. I want to emphasize to you that these women were not expecting to meet Jesus. They weren't running to tell the disciples in hopes that Jesus would interrupt them. If you will look at verse 9, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them." Look at that word, "met with me." It is a translation of the Greek word hupotao, which means that he suddenly appeared in their midst. It wasn't that they said, "Now, if we go down this path here, maybe we will see him." They were doing what they were told to do and thinking only of that. And suddenly, he was before them. My, what a blessed experience it must have been for them. Do you realize that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, you have the first three recorded statements of the resurrected Christ? The first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said after he was risen from the dead, what was it? The very first thing he said, "All hail." The phrase, "all hail," it was true, was a common greeting among men, but the Spirit of God has often taken words that were used in connection with everyday language and raised them up to a spatial significance to teach spiritual truth. These two English words, "all hail," are the translation of one Greek word, "kairo," and very literally rendered, it is "rejoice." I've often thought that might be a good way for Christians to meet one another. Actually, there are only two greetings recorded in the New Testament as being used by believers. One of them is this word, "kairo," rejoice, and the other is "maranatha," And Maranatha means the Lord is coming. I would not be insistent about your using one above the other, but I would suggest that it would be good if Christians would learn to greet one another with the words, rejoice. What do you do most of the time now? Well, most of us as Christians act just like the world does. What do we say? How are you today? I don't feel so good, do you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw one another, we'd say, joy. Someone says, what are you happy about? Well, you might return, I'm just happy today because the Lord is real and because the Lord is risen. Or if we greeted folk with the phrase, Maranatha, the Lord is coming, amen, he is, wouldn't he? Wouldn't we have a good time rejoicing with one another instead of living like the world does under a cloud of pessimism that discourages people to even be around them? Did you notice another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said in these first resurrection remarks? Fear not, fear not. All hail, rejoice, fear not. I would like for you to notice in the resurrection appearances of Christ how many times these words are used. Fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of anymore. You know, I don't know of a greater message that we could get over to anyone than that. There isn't anything to be afraid of anymore. Before the Lord Jesus Christ died, men were afraid of death, and they had a right to be. But you don't need to be afraid of death anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone on ahead. He guarantees that there is a life beyond. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. There's no reason for anyone to be afraid. Fear not. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has taken all fear away. More important than the fear of death is the fear that so many folk have, that they won't be safe after they die. Oh, they've trusted Christ now, and they manage to sing a little and pray a little and keep their hopes up, but every now and then the fear comes back. Suppose after all this kind of life, I go to hell. Suppose that I wind up in that place. Suppose I won't go to heaven. Well, this is the message. Don't be afraid anymore. We are justified because the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And I don't have to have time, I just don't have time, to develop all of the things that come to mind with this one little greeting, fear not. But dear one, that is the message of the resurrection. Well, the third thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said was, go and tell, when you have time, examine the resurrection appearances and notice how many times the word go is connected with the message. Go tell. In this particular instance, it was go tell my disciples. Really, that's the theme of the resurrection story. All of us ought to accept the responsibility upon ourselves to go and tell. I suggest for further emphasis that these individuals had a special word to give in addition to go and tell. And what was that special word? Go tell my disciples that I will meet them in Galilee. What was the message? The message was concerning an appointment. You have an appointment, they were told to tell the disciples. You have an appointment with the risen Lord. You have an appointment with the Son of God. And they did meet him there in Galilee. But now, I would like to raise that just a little bit higher and extend it a little bit further and say that you and I have an appointment with the Savior. Yes, we have the responsibility of keeping that appointment in mind, and we have the responsibility of telling others about the appointment. Many passages of Scripture in the Word of God might be quoted today to remind our hearts that we have an appointment by and by. But I've selected this passage because I love it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Listen to those words again. Matchless are they indeed. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The women were told, go tell the disciples they have an appointment to meet Jesus in Galilee. And I tell you today, we have an appointment to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And John emphasizes the responsibility which is ours in the light of that fact when he said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Dear one, we do have an appointment, not to meet the resurrected Christ, but we have an appointment to meet the glorified Christ. Jesus is coming one day, and we're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and we will be made like him. What a glorious, wonderful hope that is for us. Live in the light of that hope today.